Life is full of what-ifs, some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
It was just the most massive thing I've ever seen. To tell you the honest truth, I thought, well, we're the only ones left on this planet. Something's happened. We've missed something here.
The fear that went in me when I seen it was just the feeling, I'd say it was fear, but I've never felt that feeling before in my entire life.
It's a weird feeling, you can't explain it when you don't know. You feel like you're being followed, but you don't know what it is.
We had two to our right, another one in front of us, another one to the left, and another one just across the road, shaking the daylight out of the tree. All we get was a big red eye.
I remember waking up and looking at the end of the bed, and there was a figure there, almost insect-like, and then I blacked out.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Cade Moyer, and you are listening to the Believe Paranormal and UFO podcast. If you have had an encounter and would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. If you enjoy the podcast, be sure to leave us a rating or review wherever you listen and head on over to our website, believepod.com, and consider becoming a member to get bonus episodes and video content. Tonight, I'm joined by a very good friend of the podcast, and that is Dylan Stewart from the Paranormal Thoughts podcast. And I've been listening to Dylan's show for a very, very long time. And Dylan recently went on a discovery of himself, which is something that is rather unique when it comes to the world of, I guess, the world of paranormal podcasting, because it's usually us talking about other people or interviewing other people and kind of finding out what their journey was. But Dylan went on this journey of self-discovery about being a potential abductee. And whenever someone says that they're an abductee, it always kind of pricks my ears up a little bit. And when Dylan told me, hey, man, I'm doing this insane kind of journey, I had to get him on because today he released his final kind of episode in his trilogy of going down the explanation of what happened to him, and my mind has been blown. So I said, Dylan, let's chat. So Dylan, welcome back to the Believe podcast, my friend.
Thank you so much for having me again, Cade. It's always a good time getting to speak with you, so I've been looking forward to it.
Mate, it's always a pleasure chatting to you. And I know that I say this every time I catch up with you, but your podcast is honestly excellent. Like, it's the most crispy-sounding podcast out there. And it genuinely enrages me how clean and beautiful it sounds. So if you haven't checked out Dylan's podcast, Paranormal Thoughts podcast, head on over, give it a listen, and you'll realize how much work this gentleman puts into it.
Oh, you're very kind, Cade. And I'm a massive fan of what you do as well. You know, it's great, the platform that you've created and giving people like everyday experiences a voice, you know, to tell their you know, some of their most deepest, darkest paranormal stories, you know, and I think it's very important what you're doing. So, yeah, I can really appreciate what you do.
Mate, I think we're, you know, two sides of a coin, because you go down that like very investigational kind of path of things, and you kind of dissect things that little bit more, which I think is really, really cool of the type of show that you do. But for yourself to kind of turn the tables and put it on yourself, because you talk to like very interesting people, like you've spoken to a demonologist, you know, you've spoken to the people that don't, when I say don't fit the mold of this podcast, it's just more so that they're not the type of people who have those types of experiences who want to come on and share. So you go out to these kind of maybe not experts would be the right word, but like these people in these fields who have had the experience with the unknown on another level. So what made you start to think that you may have been an abductee, because for anyone who is interested in Dylan's journey, I'd highly recommend going through his podcasts and listening to the last three episodes. But for those who haven't done that or maybe just kind of want the short version of your experiences, what kind of made you feel like there may have been something to this?
It sort of started almost 7 years ago. Actually, yeah, the podcast actually turns seven tomorrow, funny enough. So I guess it is just about 7 years ago. Yeah, not long after the podcast started, I started to have a few interesting experiences around synchronicity, sort of amongst, I guess, the concept of alien abduction, I guess, myself. Nothing like, nothing too out there, but it was just these strange little glimpses into, I guess, the topics I was researching at that point, you know, and really kind of leading up to starting the podcast. And when these things started to happen, I kind of took that as a message to be doing the podcast, and I kind of just ran with that. And then I think from talking to everyday experiences with alien abduction, it's hard not to, you know, spend hours talking to these people and then not sometimes seeing yourself in them as well, and, you know, hearing about their incredible stories and just their backgrounds. And I guess a big thing with that too is when some of them would start to say to me, like, have you thought about yourself having experiences? Or I think maybe you could be someone who may be closer to this topic than you might actually think. It all kind of builds up, and that's what kind of happened. It was about June of this year that it was just, it's hard to know exactly how it got to that point, but it was just like, you know what? If I don't do something about it, then I'm never going to know. So what can I put in place to seek some answers? And I guess a big part of it was also allowing the audience of the podcast to come along on that journey, because that was important, because I've sort of done that over these last 7 years. Is if I'm doing something, I want to be sharing it to give people maybe more of an understanding or a different insight, and just to not necessarily be like a guinea pig, but just to be like, well, you know, if you guys are interested in seeking answers, well, here's my experience. Maybe it's not so, maybe it's not such a thing for you to look into, you know, try to maybe get rid of some of that fear, or try to maybe normalize, you know, actually questioning this, you know, these topics that often, you know, it's easy to think, oh, maybe something unusual has happened to me, I'll just ignore it and get on with life, you know. And yeah, I just kind of couldn't ignore the signs anymore.
It's interesting that the people that you've interviewed on your podcast started to find or were identifying those traits within yourself. Was that something that you were aware of at the time?
Somewhat. I think the strangest thing that happened was a month after the podcast starting, I came across a researcher who put the idea in my mind of, they were asked the question, have you had any experiences yourself? And she replied saying, if I have, I don't have any recollection. And that's such a simple answer. You know, it's not saying yes or no. It's just saying, well, I don't know. And I had never really thought about it like that. Before that point, you know, I was like, well, I've never seen or experienced anything that I'm aware of, so why would I ever expect that something has happened? But then, you know, you look into this phenomena for long enough and you know that, you know, memories are wiped or hidden, or, you know, it's all very secretive. So who's to say that just because you don't remember doesn't necessarily mean you haven't had something happen? But then obviously at that point I was like, well, I have no other basis for this. But then not long after hearing those words and kind of really having that thought process in my mind, things started to show themselves. And I do go into like a lot of detail in that first episode about all of this, but to kind of summarize it, when I got into the podcast, I was extremely interested in alien abduction and synchronicity, and also how owls play into that a lot, and owls play a big part in the paranormal. And one evening when I was driving home, I was thinking, in the simplest way, I'll keep this really short, I was thinking about those words that researcher said, and I saw an owl, and I've never seen an owl where I lived at the time, and the next 4 days, I had some really strange synchronicities kind of take place, and that was kind of the light bulb kind of moment of, well, I've started just to think about, could I have potentially had an experience, and then things are kind of showing themselves that I know to be a part of this phenomena. So that was kind of hard to ignore. Even, you know, fast forward 7 years later, when I've come to this point and I've kind of decided to seek answers, and the way I did that was through hypnosis. I reached out to a researcher who's based here in Australia, Mary Rodwell, who works with people who believe they've been abducted, and she works with them with hypnosis or even just counseling. And, you know, I reached out to her. We decided to do an interview and do this hypnosis for the podcast. And it turns out that she was actually that woman those 7 years ago who said those words, "If I've had an experience, I'm not aware." And I had no idea that that happened, because I completely forgotten. And it wasn't until I'd already emailed her and said, "Hey, can we do this thing?" She's like, "Yep, great." And then I went to listen to some of her work on some podcasts, and accidentally in Apple Podcasts hit previously played, and there was an episode that I listened to in 2016 with her in it, and I knew instantly. I was like, "This is her, isn't it? Who said those words?" And it was.
That's so another synchronicity right there, isn't it?
To come full circle like that, it's like I couldn't write that.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? And it was weird when I told her that, because she wasn't that surprised by it. She was like, "Yeah, these things happen, you know." And it's hard to ignore it. And so it's things like that, where all these weird little things where you could easily ignore that and go, "Yeah, like the world works in strange ways." But the fact that she was a part of this whole journey, and then for her to help me find answers, is like, I don't know, it's strange. It's very strange, and it's the kind of thing that can keep you up at night if you let it.
Yeah, absolutely. It's it is one of those things that I always find a little bit confusing, I think, is synchronicities, because it's one of these things, and not to completely take away from your experience, because I think a lot of people they really look into like repeating numbers and things like that way too much. Like it's just one of those things that just happens, because people say, "Oh, whenever I look at the clock, it's 11:11 or it's 4:44 or, you know, something like that."
Yeah.
And they it's one of these things where the human mind, like it wants to always find patterns. The human mind, it finds patterns to protect us. Like it's just programmed that way. So you will remember the times you've looked at the clock when you've seen these times, and you won't remember it when you have looked at it and it's a different time. So like that's just a funny thing like that. But when you get all these synchronicities that kind of, not like it's fate, but it's kind of like things are pushing you towards a point.
Yeah.
It probably is a little bit more than a synchronicity at that point.
100%. And the thing is with synchronicities, once you're aware of it, it does show itself more. So I'm very aware of that. And I think if it was just like one of these things, it'd be very easy to ignore. But for like at least a year, there was so many weird synchronicities with owls and aliens with me, where to the point where I told this on the podcast a long time ago, I was in a bookshop. Actually, it was up your way, Kate. I think it was in Cairns, up at Coranda, I think. And I could be completely getting that wrong. But I was in this secondhand bookshop, and every time I'm in a bookshop, I like to, you know, find if they, you know, do they have a little paranormal section.
Yeah.
It's always kind of down low. Some are kind of weird, you know. And there was, but yeah, once as I said, it was like right down the bottom. So I kind of like, I crouched down and I pulled out a book, and it was one of Whitley Strieber's works. It was, you know, a later novel after Communion. And, you know, I'm just having like a little flick through. And then because I'm like crouching down the ground, I'm like, I'm kind of uncomfortable. But then there was to like just kind of behind me, there was like a little stool that I guess people sit on to flip through books. So I could kind of like start leaning against this stool, flicking through this book. I'm like, ah, yeah, cool. I'm like, I might buy this book. And I go to get up, and the little stool that I was leaning on, had a cushion on it with like three barn owls. Right. And like, once again, just a strange coincidence, but those things kept happening time and time again, where I was like thinking about one of those two, you know, either owls or, you know, alien abduction or whatever. And it was just, those things just kept happening. And once again, you know, when you're aware of it, you see it, but it was just, it just gets to the point where it amounts and you're like, I mean, it just felt like the universe just screaming at me, being like, you're like, stop ignoring this, you know. And it is, it's funny, but I definitely agree though. You can easily let that lead you. And probably why it's taken so long to come to the conclusion of doing it, you know. Like, it's it wasn't something that was really appealing. It was something I thought about some years ago. I thought it'd be really interesting to make a podcast and kind of document that. But then I was like, I still had the same sort of nerves and sort of anxiety about doing it now, where I didn't know how it was going to be perceived. I mean, it's still, as we said, it only came out today, and the response has been extremely positive, which is incredible. That, you know, it's still early days, don't get me wrong, but it did take, I guess, all those years to let it kind of just, yeah, go over in my mind, like, oh, am I going to actually give time to this, or just, I don't know, go on living? And I guess I made my decision.
Yeah, and you know what? Hats off to you, because it is such a gutsy thing to do. And I think it probably kind of like humanizes your view of all your guests as well, who've kind of gone through these types of experiences as well. And to kind of go through it and come through the other side with that kind of sense of, well, I don't know if clarity would be maybe the right answer, but maybe having a better understanding of where you maybe fit within that puzzle that you're starting to put together. Does it make you kind of go back and think of the people that you've spoken to, like how you would potentially go back and talk to them again?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Because you've gone through the same thing that they've gone through, potentially.
Yeah. It's very interesting, because I approach speaking with these people, I always say, like, if I speak with someone and I'm not buying what they're saying, you won't hear that episode. So everyone that I... And, you know, this gets really difficult. You'd find this as well, Cade, when you speak to so many different people, and the way that people approach how they tell their stories, everyone's very different in the way they tell it. Some are really confident in the way they tell it, and other people are really, it's hard for them. And it's very easy to be like, well, if they're sort of really confident, and maybe they, you know, fabricated it, or maybe they're sort of letting their imagination run wild and so on. But regardless of any of that, because everyone's different, everyone, you know, it's their truth. And if I'm like using their audio for an episode, like, I believe in them, you know. So I've always approached it from that point of view of, this is these people's truths. And I think I've always tried to, I guess, sit on the fence, but, you know, I'm approaching it from, I'm hearing what they're saying, but I'm also very trying to be analytical with it as well, being like, you know, well, could it be something else? Or, you know, and I don't necessarily ask that, because it's not really the purpose of all that. But, you know, I think it makes it really Yeah, it's a weird one because I don't really... I didn't really want to come out of this whole experience with knowing that maybe something has happened, because I kind of did want to be a little bit of a fence sitter where I can deliver this content in such a way that it's like I'm still skeptical and, you know, I'm just looking for answers, you know what I mean? And yeah, I never wanted to be like, and I don't know if I ever could be like this, where I'm like, hey, I'm an experiencer. This is now a podcast from an experiencer's point of view. And that's not to like try to minimize these people, you know, in these situations. I'm not trying to be like, well, I don't want anything to do with that by any means, but it's not something you kind of easily come around to either. And I don't really know how it all fits in. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, absolutely. Because you've really kind of taken the first step on, I guess, this journey, and there's going to be so many layers to it. And I think it would be good if we kind of give the listeners or the viewers, because we are doing an audio and a video version of this podcast, to give them a little bit of insight of kind of what you realize, like what was the result of, I guess, going through this regression. And now a quick word from our sponsor.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Also, are you wanting more content? Why not become a Believe Plus member? You'll get access to exclusive podcasts and episodes that aren't available to the public. Not only that, you'll also get our regular feed without any ads. Head to believepod.com/plus to sign up today for just $5 a month.
Yeah, it was not what I expected by any means. It was... I keep saying I don't know what I expected, but what happened wasn't anything that I could kind of comprehend, because I think people always think of hypnosis is you're in this state of altered self where you can be told do this or think that, and it, for me anyway, it was nothing like that. And from the researcher Mary, who did this regression with me, she said majority of people aren't actually susceptible to hypnosis. Like, you know, if you watch like a Darren Brown special where, you know, he's making you think the world's ended, that's a very particular person who he has chosen that from a lot of people to be like, you're going to receive my sort of my control. But majority of people aren't like that. So people have kind of asked, like the few people who I've mentioned in my personal life that I've sort of gone through this, they're like, well, were you in like control of yourself? I was like, I felt like at any moment I could open my eyes, and you know, if the phone rang, I felt like I could have just like picked that up, you know, whether or not I could have, because when I came out of the regression, I was really, it was like I had been picked up off the floor. It was like I was somewhere else. It was just like a very deep meditation. So what I was seeing during the hypnosis, it got a little bit more clearer as time went on, as I was able to let go of just my, just the physical self. And I'm more than happy to say this too. Like, I was also recording a podcast at the time, so I was very much aware of, you know, is the audio recording, you know, is everything fine? Because I'm sitting in the dark, my eyes closed for like over an hour. You know what I mean? Like, it was a little bit strange to just switch off at first. But once I kind of got past all of that, more and more was accessible with, I guess, with my sight. But a big sensation was feeling. And that's really hard to explain. And I'm not someone who's very susceptible to things, you know, like if you go do a ghost hunt and people are like, I just felt something, I'm the last person to be like, oh yeah, I feel that too. Like, I'm just not really so much.
like a tangible feeling or like an emotional feeling?
Both. There was definitely both. And that was almost the most bizarre thing, because I feel like you might be more susceptible to be like imagining these images, but then to actually be feeling things that you didn't expect is kind of, I don't know, maybe it's not any harder, but it feels like, I mean, I'm sitting in the exact same spot I did that hypnosis, and right now I don't feel like I'm being like held down to the chair or anything like that, you know what I mean? So it was sort of the sense of both, like, even, you know, when you would ask, I did witness some beings during this time, and we can talk more about that in a second, but I was being asked by Mary to ask these entities questions, and the way you hear it wasn't like how I'm speaking to you right now. It was difficult to really make it out, and it was easier to kind of just get a sense of, really the best I could do was like one word kind of answers, or like yes and no, which it's a bit disappointing, because if I was getting full sentences, that would blow me away. Honestly, that would be like, whoa, this is surreal. But I feel like for me, I'd probably have to do it a few times and actually really allow myself to maybe let go more. Maybe, yeah, I don't yeah, know. Yeah. It's, I'm like not kind sure. Of
fully give into the experience wholeheartedly.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, you know, being a first timer, I mean, Mary seemed to think that I did quite well, but I was just literally just trying to, it was like you're trying to make sense of what it is, but it's unlike anything that I'd ever experienced. And I thought I was actually describing what I was seeing quite well. And then when I went back and, you know, had to edit the episode, I was like, I'm barely saying anything. But to me, I felt like I was giving more description. And I know it's so easy. I hated that it came out that way, because it's easy for me to be like now, like, yeah, this is what I was seeing. But I just couldn't. It was really hard. And like, you know, I played the audio for my wife, and she was like, that's not how you sound. You know, she's like, you're struggling to, you know, to, I guess,
articulate the words that you're wanting to say, essentially.
And like, to me, when I first listened to it, it kind of sounded a bit like disingenuous, but then I kind of, you know, but that's just, it's easy for me to be very like judgmental on it, of course. But then I was like, that's not how I typically sound, you know? So I think that was really, I think that was really important to just to, you know, say that I thought it was kind of, I was, you know, at least being able to articulate a little bit more. But I guess the big sort of takeaways was, yeah, seeing these beings, which were the fairly typical kind of grey aliens, but the weirdest thing was, it's like the shape of their head, was almost like if you blew up a balloon, so, you know, you've got sort of more of a bulbous kind of top, and I guess it kind of comes down where you tie it, but it was like in the middle, it was like you're kind of squeezing it a bit. And when I was witnessing that, I was like, oh, I've never seen that before. I was like, so why am I seeing that now? Or when the regression first started, she took me to my childhood bedroom, and I assumed I'd probably see that, because we've kind of spoken about that's sort of the time when I feel like this phenomena may have presented itself for a number of different reasons. And I had a bunk bed as a kid, but when I opened the door in this hypnosis and walked into the room, the bed was different, and it was a bed that I had previous to that, and I did not expect to see that. I expected to be like seeing myself like lying in my bunk bed, you know, quite close to the ceiling, but then I walk into this room and I'm like, this is my bed before that. And it was very identifiable, because it was red and it was like shaped as a like a car. You know, it's pretty hard to...
You'd remember that.
Yeah, exactly. And even at that time, I thought I was like... I couldn't even say that to her, though. I was at that moment, that was kind of the first thing I saw. I just remember thinking like, why am I seeing this? Like, I haven't thought about this. And it was in the right place in the room. So it wasn't like I constructed it. And what that told me was, where I was in this subconscious memory, it was earlier than I'd predicted. And I was like, oh, okay, that's interesting. If the bed was before that later bunk bed.
That is interesting because it almost seems like you almost had like a preconceived moment in time when you thought this happened, and you're kind of shocked that it was completely different.
Yeah. It was like, I can honestly say I did not expect to see that. And that was the thing where I knew, maybe not even in that moment, but later looking back, I was like, where'd that come from? You know what I mean? Like, and then there were some answers I gave as well, which I don't remember giving. Like, she asks, are these entities, what she say, like, are they, have you seen them before? And rather than saying yes or no, I say, like, they don't feel like strangers. And that's a weird thing to say. And it's almost a bit, it's almost poetic. And I don't know why I said that, because a lot of the other answers I'm giving, I'm just like, yes or no. But that, there's something, every time I heard that, because I probably have to listen through that episode like three times in full, every time that happened, I almost forgot that I was about to say it. And it's a bit haunting. And because when I said that too, I was supposedly like around that age of like 6 or 7. So thinking about a 6 or 7 year old saying something like that, even though it's like yourself, it's still, it's very bit disconcerting, I'd say, you know, a little bit.
It's very out of place for someone of that age to be able to have that kind of cognitive thought.
And I don't know, it was very strange. And even some of the answers that I was getting, they came through like really clear, and other things not so much. And then I did see this other being, which was really bizarre, because those typical greys weren't really giving me anything, which feels very true to them. Like I do say in the hypnosis, I felt like I was being ignored, and that just rings really true to, I guess, the root sort of a general kind of report of those entities. And Mary asks if there's another being that's relevant to my experiences that could come and show itself. And then instantly this massive, like, you know, I don't know how tall. This is the thing. It's hard to get a concept of even like my height a lot of the time. Sometimes I felt like I was maybe shorter because I guess I was in the body of like my 7-year-old self, supposedly. But other times it was kind of like you just existed. So getting the scale of things could be a bit hard. But I just knew this thing was tall, all white, bright, kind of felt like, all, it just felt very angelic, which is really weird because this thing I had never really ever thought about. You know, I'm familiar with white beings and, you know, these light sort of beings too, but it didn't really resemble that. It was just this kind of energy that felt kind of like a guide, I suppose. Like, I do say that in the hypnosis, but thinking now, I just this thing just appeared. And my whole thing afterwards, I was like, where'd that come from? Like, I know I was going into this being like, I'm seeing if I have any abduction memories. I am very familiar with what abduction is. So I was very concerned. My mind was just going to be like, hey, here's a typical experience. But then when you're seeing things like that, I was like, I don't know where that just came from. And it's giving me kind of answers about this material. And it's hard, like, because I was almost just trying to convince myself. I was like, am I actually seeing this? But also being in that experience, it was very real. And my biggest takeaway now is like, I can close my eyes and all of those sort of moments I can see very clearly. Where I said it to a friend earlier today, I'm like, it was almost like these memories have been inserted, but I mean, I would have had to have inserted them because no one else did, you know what I mean? So obviously they've come from somewhere.
Think a different way to look at that is, rather than these memories being inserted, is that they've been revealed?
Yeah, I think that's definitely more so what it would be. I think me saying like they've been inserted is definitely more of like my skeptical kind of mind being like, oh, well, surely there's been some sort of influence, but there wasn't. Like, you can listen to the episode. I was very honest about this too. I did edit it down to the time because there was moments where like I couldn't really get answers, or she has to ask a few times because I'm trying to look or focus on something and she's kind of asking you, like, hang on, can you just ask that again? Because I'm just I'm kind of somewhere else. So, you know, I did edit it down for time, but I didn't manufacture anything.
Yeah.
In that, so, but yeah, but you listen to the questions that she's asking. At no point she's like, "Are you seeing small beings?" And me being like, "Yes." Do they? You know, and all those sort of things. Like,
yeah, like she's not leading you down a path of like, yeah, this is what's happened.
Yeah, and also like, I felt like at the beginning I was really maybe not so much fighting, but I just, it was really weird to like close my eyes and try to get into the state of, I guess, calmness and sort of like just relaxation when I'm trying to be like, don't think about like it being in a UFO and things like that. And then, you know, I do describe being in a room which was really white, and all I could say was it doesn't feel like it has like right angles. And I know that what that starts to feel like, what it kind of sounds like, starts to sound like, but at no point I saw anything else. It was just this room that was, it kind of didn't end.
Like, yeah, you know, it was like an edgeless room.
Yeah, it was just all-encompassing, and it was a really strong feeling of that. And that was the weird thing to come away from. There was so much feeling with the, like, just with this hypnosis session. And even now, like, I still find it kind of hard to describe because it was very powerful. And it makes it kind of hard to even me to like, deny, you know what I mean? Because it's like, to feel a light so hot that it feels like, you know, you're actually being burnt. And like, I didn't really describe that very well in the session. I don't know why. But I just remember sitting here and being like, whoa, this is pretty intense. Like, I don't know. It's very hard for me to, still look at it from a point of view of, maybe it's something else, you know, because it kind of just happened. Yeah. And it feels very real, you know?
One thing that I've noticed is, like, you've got a very, like, mellow response to the entire kind of event. And I think a lot of people would probably feel, like, a sense of fear, a sense of dread, a sense of, like, unknowing about this. Do you have anything like that? And I guess to kind of continue that on, like, does that make you... Like, do you fear this type of thing at all?
That is, I feel like the answer to that may be a little complex because I feel a few different ways about it. I am glad that, I guess, that was my response, was being very neutral in a sense, because if I was to come away and, you know, if I was like bawling or, you know, hyperventilating or something, I'd be like, why did I potentially uncover that? The weird thing in that hypnosis too, like, and this actually did happen during it, was like, I started to like tear up when I first kind of saw those beings, but it was kind of like, I felt like the emotional side wasn't really that present during it. It was just kind of like witnessing things and feeling things, but not really from the point of, you know, your typical kind of emotional state. So that could definitely play into it, because I feel like you should be frightened, and I probably could have been, but once again, it didn't really show itself. But it's interesting, because I just saw, and I can't remember the name of the film, but it just came out on like Disney Plus here in Australia. I think it's on like Hulu over in the States. The film, it's like a horror film where a woman's kind of terrorized by an alien being. It came out like 2 weeks ago. And I saw the trailer pop, and I love anything to do with this phenomena, and I love a good horror film. But there's something about alien films where they're quite humanoid in appearance, where I guess they are sort of terrorizing people, which is very unsettling. I remember my wife was driving her car, and I'm sitting in the passenger seat, and I watched that trailer, and I kind of stopped, and I was like, it's because this is after the hypnosis session. I was like, you know, I never really thought about it, but this material, when it's kind of portrayed in such a way of, you know, it's meant to be frightening, it's meant to get a response, is maybe there's something a little more to that, which I never really thought much of, because I know that's the response it's meant to give you, but it's not. It's very. It feels a bit different. So, to answer your question about like, does this kind of frighten me? I'm like, on some level, yeah, it does. But I guess from being around it, from like, you know, the podcast or like a just an interest kind of point of view, a lot of the fear kind of does fade away, and you kind of think about it as more of this is kind of happening. And for the most part, I don't know. I mean, people have differing kind of experiences and how they kind of feel about it. But yeah, on some level, the idea of being taken is, yeah, of course. But then I don't know if my experiences are necessarily taking place physically. And I feel like that changes it a lot too, if I'm not actually disappearing for, and you know, however long. But yeah, it's hard because I've only really started to approach it like that. I mean, as a kid, I mean, like any kid, like a grey alien kind of appearance was quite unnerving. But I feel like everything of that sort of imagery was for me. Because I know some people who are really, you know, really bothered by it and they kind of believe that plays into it. But for me, not, I wouldn't say that plays as much of a part.
Did you ever have like an irrational fear of like that kind of grey alien look or anything like that?
There was a time, I might have been the age of like 9 or 10, because I had a grandfather who was kind of into UFOs, and he had some like VHS tapes from like the '80s, and it had, you know, like Bud Hopkins and a bunch of other researchers whose names have now escaped me. And he gave these to me, but, you know, it's pretty young to be watching, you know, adults be like, yeah, this is, I've been taken, you know, like they had the whole like Betty and Barney Hill kind of case and that. As a kid, like I feel like that's kind of where the obsession started, because I was so interested in it. But then I couldn't even have like the VHS tape near like the TV after that, because on the spine of the tape had this like gray alien. I was like, oh, these things are like, but you know, but of course that imagery is, it's frightening. And even the way they show them depicted in the documentary, you know, like them walking just very slowly. And so, yeah, it's hard to, I don't think I've ever had like an irrational fear, but just like probably the same amount as anyone. But it was just weird to watch that trailer the other day and be like, this is a little unnerving, the idea of these things forcefully taking this woman. And I think maybe because, I mean, that does happen, and because I speak to people, that does happen. And I think it might just be like a combination of everything. I think everything in the last few months has just really hit the ceiling, and coming down off that at the moment. Because, yeah, as you would know, like you speak to people and sometimes like their story really hits you hard and you're like, man, and it's hard to, I don't know, it's to kind of compartmentalize that, and especially when you start thinking about maybe yourself.
Yeah, well, you've kind of crossed that void now. You're no longer the guy on the other side of the microphone. You are now part of that kind of collective group of, you know, of experiences.
Yeah, and that's something that I had to kind of think about for a bit, but I didn't think about it for too long because I didn't want to not do it either. I was like, you know what? If anyone's going to do it, I mean, it should probably be myself, because I don't know. It just kind of, and I feel like,
you had all the right attributes going for you to make it happen. So pull the trigger. Yeah. Why not?
Well, that's it. I'm like, what's the worst case scenario? Like, I mean, as I said, I'm like, if nothing would have come out of the hypnosis, I would have just done an episode on that. Been like, okay, I guess nothing is going on, and that's great. You know, so be it. We'll keep moving on. But yeah, it was kind of just enough to be like, oh, this is really interesting. I mean, it's just now it's kind of like, oh, what do I do with this? I think it's still a lot of kind of like self-discovery and seeing what else could show itself. But I think even just for the moment, I'm kind of like, now that the series is kind of out, I'll kind of let it do its thing. I'll kind of figure out what's sort of next, I suppose. I don't want to rush into any of it. And it's like, it does feel weird to share it so openly with people. And like, I really understand how hard it is for people to, you know, come on like my podcast or yours where, you know, giving their names and openly speaking about this, because I've done it for years. And like yourself, you know, you've had your experiences and, you know, we're very open. You know, we use our faces, we put our faces to this stuff. But this was like a whole other level where I was like, people in like my professional circle outside of this could hear this and they could be like, whoa, even, you know, like friends who know that I'm like interested in this kind of material, they're like, you know, and as I said this to Mary, I'm like, you know, it can be kind of, and maybe a little more fun to be like, I've seen a UFO or, you know, I've had some other paranormal experience. But when you're like, to be like, hey, I may have had this abduction and here's me being in an altered state talking about it openly, it's like, I didn't take that lightly, and I never do, you know, with people coming on and talking about their experiences. And it's like, there was a lot to think about. It was even like a conversation I had with my wife as well, to be like,
well, that's a good point. Like, what does your wife think of all of this?
Yeah. She, when we first got together, we were like complete opposites. And, you know, as you know, you kind of become more and more alike. And she's definitely embraced the paranormal, you know, like when we go and travel, she's like, let's do a ghost hunt and, you know, let's do that stuff. And yeah, I mean, she doesn't sit there and like watch like documentaries with me or like read on this, but she's like, she's embraced it and she's really embraced like, you know, the sort of horror and Halloween kind of stuff, which is really cool. So, you know, she's extremely supportive of the podcast and, you know, and she does occasionally listen as well. Like she's been listening to these episodes because she's curious, you know, what's kind of going on with it. And I did ask her, I was like, I don't even know what her whole stance was on it. Like, you do, but when you actually think about it, I was like, hang on, what do you think about this? Like, you know, are you going to be happy to say, you know, like to your mum, like, oh, how's Dylan, what's he up to this week? Oh, he's getting hypnotized for his podcast and so on. It's like, you know, because these are the things that she kind of would have to, you know, deal with if she wants to tell these people. And
yeah, absolutely, this is a real life kind of knock-on effect.
Yeah, and I've always been very open and honest, so I don't want people, and I don't want to do this myself, is like shy away from it either, but I do know it is kind of a next level kind of thing. So I did just kind of asked her and she's like, well, look, you need to, if you feel like you need to look for answers, there's probably something to be said about that. And she's like, you know, just see what happens. And I mean, she's witnessed some odd things too, you know, like she woke up in the middle of the night and like looked over at me and saw like a red, it was like blinking light above me. And she, rather than, you know, being like, what is that? And like panicking, she just went, okay. And I like went back to sleep. And she told me about that event. And I kind of even forgot about it until recently. She kind of brought it up again. And I was like, what a strange response for you to wake up and just be like, oh, well, back to sleep with me then. You know, so yeah,
it is weird, isn't it?
Yeah. So she's not, it's not like she's never gotten like a glimpse of any of this and just kind of like, doesn't want anything to do with it. But, yeah, it's interesting. She's very, yeah, she's very supportive of it, which is great. Because I know I've spoken to people, and I'm sure you have too, right? Where they kind of talk about it with their partners, this kind of, you know, and you're just like, how? Like,
yeah.
And I really feel for those people. Don't, you know, it's not everyone is in the position to be, you know, open about this stuff. It's hard. So yeah, I feel very fortunate. But it's even now, you know, like my mother is like quite into the paranormal as well, probably more so since I've started this. So, you know, she's been listening and she's been messaging me about, and that makes it really real, because she's like, hang on, was like, what are you saying? Like, was this happening to you when you were a kid? I'm like, Mom, I don't know. And that actually was like that was a weird thing. I was like, I don't think I'm ready to open up this can of worms at this point of time, you know. But it's, yeah, it's really, it's very strange. And yeah, that's why I've just been very careful about approaching it in such a way where I don't want to jump to any conclusion, but I don't want to hide away from it either, you know. Like, I don't really want to be safe where I'm like, oh yeah, well, this has happened, but you know, it's whatever kind of thing. Like, I do think there's more to it, whether or not it's what it's actually appearing to be. I don't know, because I think if I could have an actual memory from being, you know, having one of these experiences where I was actually conscious, it would really just put it into plain sight. It'd be like, okay, well, that's pretty hard to deny. But when it's still like kind of all these like little messages and then seeing these images and feeling these things through hypnosis, it's like, well, I mean, it's very much so pointing in that one direction, but it's hard to, I feel like I couldn't just back myself completely and be like, yep, this is what it is, because it's still, maybe still a bit too early to tell. But I mean, you can kind of see where I'm leaning towards, but I'm also just being very, I don't know, just, it doesn't, well, I think it doesn't really matter either. Like, I don't have to ever come to a conclusion either, which is something that I could probably just keep reminding myself. But I know everyone, that's always the question everyone wants to know. It's like, well, has it happened? And it's like, well, could have very possibly. But also, you know, I even asked people at the end of the episode, I'm like, hey, let me know what you guys think. Like, tell me, do you think I'm actually onto something here, or is it, you know, because I'm genuinely curious. As you know, please be like respectful and know I have feelings so on as well. But yeah, like, I don't know. I've never really heard someone be hypnotized in the way that I have. Like, I've always only heard like the sort of horror kind of side of it, you know, like even like the Betty and Barney Hill tapes where like Barney's screaming and you're like, oh God, like that's, or even, you know, hearing like Whitley Strieber's stuff, and it's like, it's, you can see why people are like, oh, I don't want to put myself in that position. But then, as you said, like mine's quite neutral, and that almost kind of freaks me out too, in a sense. It's like, shouldn't there have been more emotion in that? Like, considering how much anxiety I had leading up to it, it's hard to really say.
Yeah, like that's something that I think is really interesting, is the fact that, you know, you were so hyped up about this in whatever way, you know, you say you had a lot of anxiety about going to do this. And, you know, does that make you think, like, if your subconscious is just so chilled in that situation, like, what's the untold story there? You know, that's, I'm genuinely like so curious about that. And, you know, Dylan, I think I know you've got this massive journey ahead of you to kind of find out like what your truth is. And, you know, that could be a lifelong journey. It could be something that you figure out rather quickly. And, you know, I'm kind of glad I'm along for the ride for that, because I feel like you're probably going to document every bloody step of that journey that you take.
Yeah, definitely. That's the thing. I think it's definitely like the long haul, which is, I don't know, I feel like it's such like uncharted waters, and I don't know what I potentially, you know, open myself up to, but it feels, it kind of just feels like it's a necessary thing. And, you know, I do speak about this in the episode too, about kind of getting the sense of knowing that this is all kind of happening for a reason. And that's kind of a weird thing to come to terms with as well. It's like, how much of this am I actually actively doing myself, or how much of it is, and, you know, I always think like, I never really like that thing of like your destiny is chosen, because like it's very easy to not do something and then your whole path changes. You know, I think you still actually have to actively go on a path, don't get me wrong, but it's really weird to think that maybe this is kind of, and, you know, I keep saying this, like, your sort of, your greater purpose. I hate that, sounds so wanky, but, like, you know, because literally, like, what I'm actually talking about, it's so minuscule in the, you know, the world we kind of live in, really. But for a lot of people, it isn't, of course. But it's a really hard thing to, yeah, I know, to really just make sense of. I don't know, we'll just see, I suppose. And I'm glad that I've done it. It's good to, because it does kind of, I know it's definitely not like the end of anything, but I can kind of feel like I can just be like, well, I have taken a step. I think it was like the right step to do. Even just like, you know, people like yourself, Cade, like, people are actually very interested in this, which I kind of assume people would be, but I honestly didn't know how people were gonna respond to it. Because, yeah, it's like a weird thing to share And yeah, I just didn't want people to listen to it and be like, "Oh, dude's doing this for to get, you know, downloads or whatever," because it's really not
internet clout.
Yeah, because it's just like, I don't know, but I mean, that just really doesn't sit well with me, because it's not, this is not the podcast I'd be doing if I wanted that, you know what I mean? I would completely avoid, you know, a kind of niche topic like this, 100%, you know. Oh, but yeah,
absolutely. And, you know, it's the whole reason I wanted to get you on the show, because it is, it's such a unique approach to this. You know, there's documentaries out there, and you know, they're really a dime a dozen about, you know, people who have gone through regression therapy or something like that, and kind of like it, like you said earlier, is a bit of a horror tale. And yours was the complete opposite of that. And that just really, really intrigued me. And I wanted to get you on, get the firsthand kind of response to it all, because you've done an excellent job, like a genuinely excellent job with the coverage of your journey over those three episodes. And I think tonight just chatting to you, you know, kind of just adds that little bit of extra insight into it. And I think the way you're going about it is just tremendous.
Well, that means honestly so much, Cade, especially for someone like yourself as well, who, you know, you're no stranger to this world and to people sharing their stories. You know, it's definitely probably one of the more difficult things I've done, but even just like speaking with you now about it, it kind of it feels like it's kind of normalizing a bit more for me. And the more I'm speaking about it, the more it kind of it's really just hammering home of like, I mean, this, yeah, it's kind of, this thing has happened. And yeah, it's just weird. It does feel weird to sort of be on the other end of it at the moment, because that's not what I sort of expected. But it's great that yeah, I get to, I don't know, just share my story, and like, you know, people want to hear it, and like, you know, especially people like yourself who, you know, you speak to so many people, so the fact of it's like it's resonated with you and resonated with the people who've heard it so far, I'm like, that's just, it's great. Because at the end of the day, I mean, this is for me, but if it's helping other people, or just, you know, it's just bringing some insight to maybe more of like a real world kind of, I don't know, situation, like, I don't know, it's who really knows. But yeah, I really appreciate it. It's great to get to be able to share and speak with people like yourself about it, you know.
No, mate, the pleasure's all mine. And I think it's a really good kind of episode for people who have kind of been on the fence about going to get the any kind of regression done. I think if people are interested in it, you know, there's plenty of people out there who kind of do this. There's, like you said, Mary Rodwell here in Australia is kind of like the go-to person for that. And if anyone is interested in doing it, I think they should go through, have a listen to your episodes, and kind of, you know, digest your journey that little bit to realize that it's not the scary thing that it's always kind of portrayed to be. And of course, every single person's encounter when it comes to this is obviously going to be different and unique. But I think your kind of journey here is a really good starting point for people who would be interested in that. So yeah, I highly recommend everyone goes and listens to Dylan's episodes there. They're gonna really open up your mind about, I guess, the whole phenomenon relating to regression and abduction and things like that. So Dylan, man, thank you so much for coming on the show tonight. You've been an absolute pleasure to talk to. Where can people find you, man?
Well, just thank you once again, Cade. It was pleasure's all mine. Always a good time when we get to catch up. But pretty much anywhere where you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, anywhere else, you know, just search Paranormal Thoughts Podcast. It'll come up somewhere, which you'll be able to listen at your convenience.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Believe Paranormal and UFO Podcast. If you have had an encounter and you would like to share it, please get in touch with me. My email address is believepod@gmail.com. Finally, don't forget to follow us on all our social media outlets, and be sure to join our Discord server to talk to other listeners of the show. You'll find all these links in our show notes. Thank you.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns, so you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1, only from Rust-Oleum.